Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality with your host, Global Happiness Specialist and Inner Peace Practitioner, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you for being there. Thank you for sharing the show. Oh, what a lot of emails. I don't know how the show is growing. I say it every single week, but this is just all organic, and I've actually just come to the realization that the people that want the information will be led to the information. Happiness specialist, who the hell does she think she is? It's happy all the time. Well, let me just start off by saying that happiness is a practiced skill, and the only reason why I'm here is sharing what I've practiced. What I've practiced to experience more happiness along the way. And my question to you, my dear audience, is would you like to experience more happiness? When I say happiness is a practice skill, would you like to experience more happiness on the journey? Let me give you my definition of happiness before I go on. You know, I always feel like I'm shot out of a cannon, especially at the beginning of the show. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Whether I have a Valentine's Day tomorrow or I don't, whether I have hundreds and thousands of people listening to this show or two people or zero people, what happens externally has no effect on what happens internally, and that is a practice. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Happiness is an energy. Happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is a vibration. It's an energy. It's an identity. I said energy twice. It's an identity. And when I say happiness is a practice, go, well, what do you practice? That's where I come in. Before I start the show, I just want, especially there's a lot of new people that listen, that just find me. So I just like to give a really quick, brief introduction, a little background. Just picture yourself standing in a robot. Oh, my goodness. Standing in a rowboat or on a robot, standing on a robot in a rowboat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So you're standing up, you got the waves turning, you got the waves up and down, you got the winds blowing, the boat is rocking up and down, and you and that robot are at peace. You and that robot are able to smile even through an IRS audit, even through the handyman getting the house, even through health issues, even through financial challenges. It doesn't matter what happens to you. So on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to ask you, how important is happiness in your life? What's your definition of happiness? Who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? Are you able to be as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges, and we all are. I think they pile it on. Don't tell anyone, but I think the universe, not think, the universe piles it on me just to see where I am. And you know what? Finally, after all these decades, I appreciate it. Because the practice, when I say happiness is a practice skill, the practice comes in. We say, wow, I didn't know I could do that. It's just like practicing balancing or stretching. And with time, I'm really excited, with time and with a lot of practice over and over and a lot of repetition over and over and a lot of commitment, guess what? There is a shift. There's not only a shift in your perspective, there is a shift in your energy. Let me just back up, get back to the yes or no questions I want to ask you. You know, I get so excited, I jump all over the place. Answer yes or no. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? Those are all yes or no questions, and if you answered yes to any of those, you're in the right spot. If you value and you prioritize and you make a commitment to happiness. And this happiness word gets a bad rap. I say it every week. I'm talking about that vibration of peace, a vibration of contentment, a vibration of relaxation, a vibration of balance, a vibration of trust, a vibration of calm. Now, do you feel those vibrations in every moment? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But those are contentment, peace, satisfaction. That is what you are rooted in. That's what your temperature gauge is set at. Personal temperature gauge. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's like any other skill. Oh, the Super Bowl today. The more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, it's a moment-by-moment practice, the better the results. And so my question to you, my dear audience, is are you ready to prioritize happiness over everything else? What that means is how do you want to experience this life? Life is going to be up and down. It's up and down. When I say up and down, I mean circumstances. Oh, this happens, and then now I feel this certain way. Things are lining up in place, now I feel good. Things don't line up in place, and now I feel bad. No, this is not about what happens out there. I think it's one of the most powerful studies that's ever been done. It was done by a hospice nurse. Her name is Bronnie Ware. And she asked her patients who are terminally ill, dying either in days, in weeks, in months, what are your five biggest regrets? Talk about the four agreements. No. What are your five biggest regrets? Can you imagine what someone that is dying knows that they're dying? What do they regret? I've shared that last year I had two friends in Oregon, and they were both given 6 months to live, probably within a month of each other. And both of my friends, and when I say friends, I've known them almost 4 years, three years, and they both handled that that truth differently. And that's what I'm talking about. The struggle is always internal. The struggle is not what's out there. It's not the coronavirus, not COVID. The struggle is always internal. Struggling comes from thinking that something needs to be different than what is actually happening in the moment. believe it or not, and I just throw COVID out there because it's just, you know, I don't listen to the news, but I'm living in Nevada right now, and then two days ago, the governor makes an announcement that no more masks. Mask mandate is out. But nothing external, wearing masks, not wearing masks, is not going to affect my peace because I'm responsible for that. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing or anyone else is saying. Find your peace within. Nelson Mandela did it for 30 years. Happiness is a practice skill, but the question is, how committed are you to the practice? Let me share with you the five regrets of the dying. I always have to read it. I don't want to forget. Well, there's only five of them. But with the memory these days, the five most common regrets of the dying. When Bronnie Ware did this study, she said there were five regrets that kept reappearing over and over, the five biggest regrets. And so she listed them. And number one is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. The second one, I wish I didn't work so hard. Third one, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. The fourth, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And I always put a caveat behind that one because sometimes we outgrow our friends. And the fifth one, I wish I would have let myself be happier. I don't know about you, but somebody that's dying, ready to check out, and they tell me they wish they would have been happier, that's powerful to me. The topic of today's show, I love this. And if you've listened to me for a while, you know that I share a lot of personal detail. This is another personal detail. The title, label, happiness specialist, comes with it, for me, a lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility because I, me and me alone, not what happens out there, not what you do, not what someone else does, not what the world does. It is a constant study of self. When I was younger, I shared this, when I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. Living to the potential, who knows what the hell that means? Because quite frankly, that's another statement from the mind, the ego. So let's just say expressing, expanding, growing, transforming, transcending different levels of consciousness. That's what I do. That's what I do. And I can't do that without my trusty tool. I have one trusty tool. I have one trusty object that I use every single day, every moment. Oh, gosh. It's the mirror. I want to share a story. I want to share what happened this week. Well, actually, it's last week because today's Sunday. You all know that I have one son, and he's going to be one year older next week. And like me, he's going through a lot of growth, and he's going through discovering. The title of today's show is Another Shift, Another Discovery, Another Birth, and of course I forgot to add repeat. Another shift, another discovery, another birth, repeat. And you know what? That's not even in the right order. Let me do it again. It's called a discovery. Discovery, shift, rebirth, repeat. Discovery, shift, rebirth, repeat. Discovery, shift, rebirth, repeat. Discovery, make a shift. Lost it already. Discovery, make a shift, make rebirth, repeat. Discovery, make a shift, rebirth, repeat. So one of the, and I get these questions. So the people, the authors that I have read and actually actively I'm listening to, Guy Finley, G-U-I-F-I-N-L-E-Y, really brilliant. He has free talks every week. Look him up. Guy Finley and then David Hawkins are really, Ernest Holmes are my foundation, a lot of my foundation, let me just say that. Abraham, Eckhart Tolle, I mean, you could go on, but a lot of, especially current, David Hawkins, Guy Finley. It's really, really interesting. And, you know, one of the things that I've shared is about words having power, words not having power, labels, not using labels. Let me back up just a little bit. Let me just back up. When you make a commitment, when you decide to prioritize happiness, there are behaviors, program behaviors, that have been proven to subtract from peace. Program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from peace. So my job is to discover which program behaviors I am still carrying, I am still dragging along, they're still in my suitcase, and I got them in my suitcase, and I'm carrying that suitcase. The discovery is really fascinating. Because I always ask, I'm asking you, well, what? I mean, this has been a decade, universe. I didn't discover this 10 years ago. With you, with me, everything happens when it's time to happen. The avocado doesn't get ripe until it's time. The baby doesn't start walking, talking, eating, dressing itself before it's time. And that's the same thing with growth. That's the same thing with personal growth, spiritual growth. It happens with time. When you are self-aware, you're conscious, and you make a commitment. The behaviors, the everyday behaviors that subtract from happiness, blaming anyone or circumstances for the way you feel, comparing yourself to anyone else, noticing what someone else is doing and commenting on it. Sorry to yell at you. Noticing what someone else is doing and commenting on it. Talking negatively about what anyone else is doing. Thinking anything is serious. Thinking anything is important. You know, this world is going to keep spinning. Things are going to keep happening. This world is going to be what it is. What is my contribution? My contribution to this world is my energy and my vibration in every moment. The other behavior, there's tons of behaviors that subtract from happiness, program behaviors. All expectations subtract from happiness. And this is another one, giving power to words. You know, I ask people, do words have power? And everyone says yes, but words innately do not have power. You learn that they have power, and so now these words that are just letters put together, now they have the power to make you feel a certain way? Now they have the power to make you feel good or make you feel bad? No. No. Whatever you learned, you can unlearn. And I know it's the programming that says words have power, but it's not my programming anymore. Living in the past or living in the future subtracts from your happiness. Having a judgment, having a preference. I do have a preference today with the Super Bowl, but you know what? That preference is so weak. My preference is so weak. It couldn't stand up. It couldn't stand up if it wanted to. So I have a slight preference because all preferences subtract from happiness. You like hot weather? You like cold weather? I prefer hot. I prefer cold. And now it's hot? No. No, even the weather. I had to even let go of having a preference to the weather. Trying to control anyone or anything outside of self subtracts from your happiness. Taking anything personally subtracts from your happiness. When I say assigning a label, I don't use labels. And one of the things that Guy Finley, and oh boy, Guy Finley said something, was talking about something last week, and he's talking about getting stuck. And this is the topic today. He's talking about getting stuck. And I'm up here with my spiritual, judgmental self, and I said, oh, that's a label, Guy Finley. That's a label. I don't use labels. I don't get stuck. What I do is I'm not going to label anything how I'm feeling. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling happy. No, it's there's no labels. All labels subtract. At least that's what I practice. So life, my interpretation, my definition of life is an experience without judgments and without labels. It's an experience. Oh, it's a great experience. Oh, I don't feel good. No, it's an experience without labels, period. You know what else subtracts from happiness, and you can do something about it today? Impatience, rushing, needing to be right, being critical of yourself or others. So guess what? While I was disagreeing internally to Guy Finley telling me that he's stuck, I kept thinking about that stuck. I said, no, I'm not stuck. There's nothing I'm stuck with. And guess what? Guess what the universe throws into my lap, throws right in my face. Getting back to my story about my son. So he's going through his growth, his transformation. And because of the type of relationship we have, I know that's a story. If he calls me every day or twice a day, or if he calls me once a month, there's no preference. There's no pressure. There's no obligation. I don't put any obligation, pressure for him to call or not call or contact me or talk to me or not. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. But what I practice is I don't worry. I trust that everything is in order. If we connect and we have conversations, we do. And if we don't connect and we don't have conversations, guess what? That's okay too. There's no preference. There's no story behind it. Oh, he doesn't love me. Well, I used to. He could care less if I'm healthy. I am his mother. Doesn't he want to know if I'm okay? That was especially when I was living in Oregon. No. My peace, my contentment, my happiness has nothing to do with whether or not my son calls me or talks to me every day or once a month. So listen to this. Listen to this. I'm up here refusing. I'm refusing to buy into a label of being stuck. My son came to visit me in Las Vegas probably about a month ago now. And, you know, listen, with these kids, I remember when I was younger just having some disagreement with the father, the mother, usually father. And it's the same with the dynamic with me and my son. So occasionally he likes to attack me. It's not attacking, but it is a rising up. It is a confronting. It is a, hey, mom, you are A, B, C, or D. Now, every time that these type of every time these type of these, you know, little bad, they call it having a disagreement, a fight, a struggle. Every time these things happen, and you know, they've been happening since he's gotten, he said, what did he say? This is probably, 15 years ago, maybe almost 20 years ago. He says, I'm ready to fight you, mom. I'm ready to fight. But the problem with that is when he was ready to fight, I had given up my boxing gloves. I had retired from the ring. I'm a retired prize fighter. I'm going to write that down. I'm a retired prize fighter. I really am. I used to love to fight and argue and disagree. And I was so good at it, and my voice could get so loud. I mean, I was loved anger. Oh, my goodness. I loved, got so much power and strength, you know, that's the program, in being angry. I felt powerful. Well, do you think, can you be angry and happy at the same time? Is it possible to be angry and happy at the same time? The answer is no. Is it possible to be at peace and drama at the same time? So I had to make a choice. I'm prioritizing happiness. I had to make a choice. And I chose happiness. So when he was ready to start really fighting and going toe-to-toe, you know, when he gets a little bit older, in his 20s, 30s, well, this was in his 20s. In his 20s, he's mid-30s now, he's ready to tussle. Now, occasionally, I have to say, occasionally I throw him a bone. Occasionally, I am more than willing to take the boxing gloves out of the closet and start and begin to pummel him because he thinks he's a good fighter because he learned from me. But no, I used to be able to destroy people with the words I used. I mean, destroy. And I got satisfaction from it. Fast forward to now. So occasionally when he comes at me with whatever it is, whatever the topic, it doesn't even matter. Because the truth is when anyone is angry at you or anyone has, we're going to have to talk about this, or we're going to have to get this out and have a discussion. When anyone has a problem with you, my dear audience, the problem is really with themselves. When I said don't take anything personally, I can't even take anything personally even from my own son. It's not personal, but I'm still practicing, and it feels really personal. It feels really personal. So this particular time when we were having breakfast overlooking a golf course, and I remember, because I don't like just glossing over. It's just so crazy. I don't like glossing over the what really happened. So we were talking about popping pimples, okay? I had a pimple on, yes, I still get pimples. I had a pimple on my face, and I pop pimples. I pop my own pimples. I love popping pimples. I pop other, if they let me. And he is the opposite. He says, don't touch it. It's going to make it worse. This is his experience. With his pimples, he's found that, I can't even believe I'm talking about pimples, but I am. He finds that if he touches it, it makes it worse. It's just very gentle, very gentle. I'm the opposite. I'm digging in. There's no gentleness if I'm popping my pimple. And he says, you're going to make it worse. And I said, no, it doesn't make, when I pop my pimples, it doesn't make my pimples worse. That's my experience. Someone else, it may be worse. I can't even believe I'm going on and on and on about this. However, if you're still listening, there is a point. When he said, when you touch your face, it makes it worse. So now me, with my goofy ass, I start poking my face on purpose. I start poking my face, poking my pimple, and then he says, you're just doing that to annoy me. I said, no, I'm not. I'm doing that because that's what I do. I'm not annoying you on purpose. I'm just, if what I'm doing is annoying, is nothing to, somebody else might not be annoyed. The point is this. I came back right at him. I engaged, and we had a nice big fight. It was great. So good that the one thing I have to say about him is he's learning because when he fights, the problem with certain people fighting, some people can fight and walk away and be over it in a second, which is me, but there are some people are more spongy. I call them sponges versus Teflon. You're either Teflon or you're a sponge. And if you're a sponge, if you're a spongy type, you soak everything in. It's not really a good idea for you to fight because that fighting energy will soak in and you'll feel it and you can't shake it. He's a spongy type, so he couldn't shake it. I can shake it off. So he left. Now I'm thinking, of course, you know, we made up, we talked it out in less than a half hour. But I kept thinking about that. I kept thinking about that, and I kept thinking about that word stuck. And do you know what, audience? You know what I discovered about me that day? Or not that day. That it took a month. It took a month for me to, because the stuck, I was stuck responding to anyone that attacked me or anyone that came at me. I'm not going to come at you. I mean, I used to. I'd come at you left and right, but I don't come for people anymore. It's just not my, I don't do it anymore. But guess what I found out I was stuck doing? I was stuck responding aggressively. If anyone came at me, if anyone confronted me, or anyone argued with me, I was stuck with one response, and that was to attack back. I was stuck with one way to behave, only one, which was defend myself, attack back. And that was a discovery for me. Having more than one tool in your tool belt gives you the opportunity to discover different ways of responding the outcome will be peace. Me going back, attacking back at anyone, son, anyone coming at me, that's not peaceful. I think in the Bible it's called turning the other cheek. Never thought about that in the heat of the moment. See, I can turn the other cheek when everything's nice and calm, but in the heat of the moment, and you're in the middle of the storm, and I got my boxing gloves on, I'm not taking my boxing gloves off. But that was the discovery. That was the discovery, and to take it to another level. As a parent, it's my responsibility to teach him how to respond in more than one way. You can come back, you can confront, you can argue, you can fight, or you can also surrender. How do you surrender when somebody's coming at you with a cannon? It's easy. You just don't fight back. I was stuck always fighting back. Came at me. I mean, I'm not talking about strangers. Hey, strangers, you can come at me. I could care less. I'm talking about people that I care about. No, if I care about you, I'm going to come back at you. But it's the ego, it's the mind that feels, that has the story of, oh, that's weak, or oh, that's, hey, don't let them do that. Don't let them say that without you saying anything. The universe pointed it out. Learn how to surrender even when you're being attacked by the only child that you have. Learn how to surrender, and I say that with both of my hands together, praying position. Learn how to surrender even if you're being attacked. See, my mind, my ego does not want to surrender, does not want to just lay down. But that's the only way for peace. That's the only way to have that vibration of peace. I cannot wait, because, you know, it happens, the little uprising comes every, I would say, few months, you know, two times a year, three times a year, maybe. So I'm going to have to wait for it. I'm going to have to wait for it. But the universe always provides the opportunities. Whatever I need, the universe brings to me. Whatever you need, the universe is you have it right now. Scratch that, whatever I need, the universe brings to me. Scratch that. Whatever I need, I have right now in this moment. God does not make any moment that isn't perfect. All moments are perfect. Now, this is the other thing that I'm practicing right now. That other thing, waiting to be attacked and surrendering. I've got to wait for that. So I got to patience. I can wait for that. That's going to be easy to wait for. That's going to be an easy one. The other thing that I have been looking at, diving into, deep dive, coming up with is living in the middle. I can't take credit for this. One of the things that Guy Finley says is we don't recognize good because everything we are experiencing is good. Yeah, I said, you know, find the good in getting an IRS audit. Find the good in having the house given to the handyman. I can do that's easy. But what about there is no finding the good? It is good. IRS audit is good. It's all good. Living in the middle, there's no good, there's no bad. It's just living right here. Whatever the universe drops along in front of me, whatever the universe gives me along on my path, it's all good. All of it. Health, money, relationships. It's all good. All of it. Even though the energy or the feeling that, you know, oh, this isn't good. I'm here to say February 13th, 2022, I've known that it has always been good. I've already known that. But to really sink it in, there's a difference between finding the good and knowing that it is good. I don't need to find the good anymore. It's one less thing I need to do. I don't need to find the good anymore in anything that happens that I wouldn't particularly have ordered on the menu of life. It's all good. All of it. The getting older, you know, this is another thing. Getting older, looking at the body, looking at the skin. The only reason why, it's all good. All of it. This division, the mind, the ego, will have me divided. This is bad. This is good. This is serious. This is important. And I'm here to say, that's over. It's over. I was able to listen and have long, not long conversations, but listen to conversations with people that are totally opposite of where I am in life. Totally. I'm not even going to describe what they do or how they're different, but they're different from me. And I was able to, for the first time, this is the last couple of weeks, to listen to people that are totally opposite and be okay and not have any kind of rise about, oof, oof, oof. Well, they don't know the truth. No, none of that. None of that anymore. All of God's creation is good. When I say rebirth. So the discovery that I was stuck. The shift comes with the discovery. Wow. Who knew? And what comes out of that is a continual rebirth. Dying of the old me, birthing the new. Dying of the old, birthing the new. And that is growth. And that is expansion. And the more you grow, and the more you expand, and the more you look in the mirror and look at self and the acceptance of who you are, where you are, and trust and let go of what your mind and your ego says or what the programming says, you'll discover a new place. Let me say not discovering a new place, but discovering a new frequency, a new vibration, a new set point, new eyes, new perspectives. And all of that adds to feeling the energy of happiness. When I say happiness is a vibration, it's an identity, it's a state of mind, it's a state in mind. And just like wine, it gets better and better with age. The growth comes, maybe small. You may not even know it, but you will feel the shift. You will feel the shift. You will feel the difference. You will let go of what doesn't work or what doesn't fit anymore. That discovery of me being of me being stuck with attacking anybody that attacks me, I cannot wait to practice that one. And the universe gifted me with one son. He's the only one that could teach me that. Why? Because he's the closest one to me. He's the closest one to me that can that still attacks, and I am going to be able to practice surrendering, letting go of this, I'm going to attack back. You think you can attack me and I'm not going to come back at you? I'm a fighter. Ex-fighter. I'm going to attack. No. No, what a great, I went outside and I said, thank you for letting me drop that suitcase. There is absolutely no reason. I don't need to get any kind of... I don't need anything from attacking. I don't need to be right. But apparently I need to be attacked so I could practice my surrendering skills more. I have some people in the queue. Well, if you want to ask a question, just press the number 1. Okay, no pressing yet. Okay. You know, I can't even believe this 45 minutes has been up already. Reality, spirituality, the truth about happiness. I love sharing. I love sharing every week. But right now it's at the end of today's show. Reality, spirituality, the truth about happiness is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is going to be revamped pretty soon, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube, but, you know, hey, this is going to be a new year, new videos, all of that. We'll see when that happens, universe. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be coming out sometime this year. I'm also going to be, well, not going to be, I'm collaborating on another book that's going to be out in a month. It's called The Book I Read, and it's talking about the books that were instrumental in changing and shifting in my own life. So that's going to be out. I can't wait to share that with you. So until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending with an unhappy journey. You cannot have a happy ending with an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner, Rebecca Norrington. Have a conscious week, and happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Go Bengals.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for us?